Revelation chapter 21. And last week we left off there in the 10th verse. And what a glorious time this will be, brothers and sisters. And I pray that we'll again, not just see it again from afar off, but enter in, that truly in spirit, that praise God, Lord, this is mine. And you've given this to me. Hallelujah. And this is our time to come. Praise the Lord, our time. And in that 10th verse, it showed us everything unbelieving, anything and everything of sin, even a lie. All of it is going to be completely disposed of in the lake of fire. All of that will be never remembered again. And it's just so thankful to think that, you know, when we depart this world, you know, whether, again, we sleep in the Lord, we, as we say, die in this life, by a Christian, praise God, is delivered then from the presence of sin. We're face to face with the Lord, praise God. But this will be a time when that sin won't even exist at all. It's gone. What a time that will be, praise the Lord, and that new heaven and new earth. Because, see, the earth has a curse. Even though it was good, it will be new. The heavens will be new. Anything that had any of that pollutant in it, of that presence of that old devil, the serpent, it's going to be gone and never remembered again. You think about this. On the cross, Jesus cried, "It is finished." What a triumphant victory. We know that at that time, not too long thereafter, I should say, the age known as the church age was ushered in. But then in verse 6 of chapter 21, we heard him say, "It is done." And when he says it is done, then is ushered in the age after the millennium, the age of the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us who believe, the everlasting gospel. And you talk about the glorious gospel, praise be to God. So now, as we go from the millennium right into this everlasting age, the very first thing you see, the very first thing presented as we go into the exceeding riches of his grace, the first thing revealed after the millennium is the bride. The bride, praise God. And it's so wonderful because it's not only the bride, but as we'll begin to read here in verse 9, it's the bride telling John and bringing John to the vision of the bride descending from heaven. Oh yes, praise God, as we've seen, as we've studied, just as our Lord, seen as a lamb, a lion, again as the one with feet of brass, all of these different wonderful facets of a diamond, if you will, the visions of the Lord, as we've seen throughout Revelation, so have we seen the bride. We've seen the bride as seven angels. We've seen the bride as the four living ones. We've seen the bride as, again, in different visions that John has given of the revelation of the bride of Christ and the activities of the bride. How wonderful and exciting as that is. So let's go ahead and read verse 9. "And there came unto me," this is John again saying, "one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Oh, I love that. Now, brothers and sisters, here we are again. One of the seven angels. The bride of Christ. The glorious ones. That seven, remember, the seven speaks of the completeness, the perfection. As the word of God says, that we would grow to the measure, the stature, the fullness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Unto that perfect man, that seven, praise God. We've seen these seven angels throughout, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Amen. Pouring out the vials, just like it said right here. Amen. So Christ-like are these seven angels. John has been bowing down and worshiping one of them. Yeah. Because John doesn't know any better. Because that one is so Christ-like that John thinks that it's Jesus himself. But what does that angel do each time? Picks him right back up and says, "See that you do that not, John. I'm just as you. I'm a redeemed son of God. How could you not see that these seven angels aren't just these spirits running around? Or they're redeemed. The only thing that's redeemed by the grace of God is you. The sons of God. Isn't it wonderful? The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Let's allow the Spirit to rightfully divide it. This is not difficult, but it is to any natural man. But by the Spirit, a cookie on a shelf. Praise God. Now, once again, these seven angels, the mature sons of God, as we rejoiced on Sunday, huios, the mature sons, fully grown, full overcomers, bridal saints, the four living one company. Look at all those visions, amen, of those of the bride. Whoa, what a diamond she is, all those facets. The bride adorned. They have the vision and they know all truth. They're not know-it-alls. They know all truth. They know, yea, the deep things of God. Yes, I would that all men be saved and filled, obviously, and full, and to know the depths, be filled with the knowledge of Christ, to know that, amen, and all of that depth and truth. So, a bridal saint, brothers and sisters, has the vision. And only a bridal saint can testify of the glory of the grace of the bride of Christ. Amen. I was remembering about Andrew. Sweet little Andrew up there with Jesus. 2 years now. Praise God. One of the last things he said is his dad would always want him to go to church with him. After he filled with the Holy Ghost and after... Tell you what, I saw that young man's Bible and had many conversations with him. Oh, how he would just circle out Philippians 3 and Ephesians 3 and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The separation, the difference between, again, an heir of God in Romans 8:28 and the notes that he had in there. And then a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the Lord did that so speedily in that young man's life. But when that happened to him, you know what he said? He said, Daddy, I'm not going to that baby preacher anymore. And his dad didn't know what he was talking about. I'd never heard that ever said before. And I knew what it meant right away. And he had to explain to his dad. He said, Dad, he preaches to babies. That's all he knows how to preach. He knows how to preach milk. I want to hear the meat of the word of God. What do you think? Huh? Praise the Lord. And I pray for a lot of waking up ones that might hear that. Praise God. But in this wonderful, the bride says, I will show thee. And a bridal saint, praise God, shows John the vision of the bride. This is a wonderful testimony in Revelation, brothers and sisters, to us that we have this witness. The witness that there is nothing else. The witness that I cannot withhold a thing. The witness, praise God, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The witness of the whole counsel of God and nothing else. The witness of my life being, if by any means, I might attain. Amen? Are we not fully purposed by the grace of God? Is that not Ephesus? Yes. Hallelujah. And again, it's not a know-it-all. It's just, praise God, I know the love of Christ. How could we not fully launch out? When that love, again, just so immersed in it, in love, praise God, it just draws us and draws us and draws us, praise be to God. I think there's a horn going off here. I don't think it's a trumpet yet. Okay. There we go. All right. So, how important is our witnessing the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Brothers and sisters, we need to know the gospel of Christ. Amen. I've heard people say before, well, do you think they're in the bride? Well, I will have to encourage my heart and your heart in the word of God. We would have to know Paul's gospel to be in the bride of Christ. Not going to be in that without it. I'm thankful for people that have a heart for God. I'm thankful for people that love the truth. But that bridal encouragement, you would have to know, yea, the deep things of God. Why would God have given that mystery given to Paul if it wasn't to be known? We're in that day and age that we're without excuse. And God help us to get on it, amen? But notice here the emphasis. The angel, the seven angels, and one of the seven, praise God, and as it says here, brought forth those plagues. So we've seen this side of the bride for so long in this wonderful study. The side of the bride that rules and reigns with Jesus Christ, that will pour forth that judgment. I just think it's so exciting. This world is ripe for it. Oh yes, man, becoming a peak of wickedness that this world has never seen. The blaspheme. The wise, the vain in his own imagination, worshiping the creation instead of the creator. And that's the truth. That's where we're at, in a way that the world has never seen, and going after it with insatiable lust and about ready to just get drowned in it. Praise be to God. So, we've seen this ruling and reigning, but now we're going to see the other side of the bride. Again, this one of the seven angels points off and points up and takes John away to show this other vision glorified together with him. And here is the vision of the bride, the Lamb's wife, praise God. And I love this because he says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, there's something special here because she's the Lamb's wife. Isn't that wonderful? The Lamb's wife. I just think that's so precious. There was John the Baptist when Jesus came. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, very God, but he had to become a man. He had to become a man so he could die. And yet we see here that Jesus was made a man because he had to become a man to have a wife. Amen. This is why it's the Lamb's wife. Jesus the man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, get excited. As was said in the garden, brothers and sisters, it is not good that man should live alone. Yes, for Adam, the first man, but even more so to the last man, Jesus. It's not good for him to live alone. Son, you will have a wife. Praise be to God. It's wonderful. It's all in here, isn't it? How do I love you? Let me count the ways. Verse 10. And so he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, notice here, John has to be carried away in what? In the spirit. He has to be carried away in the spirit. See, there's no way to have this vision, brothers and sisters, without the Holy Ghost. There's no way to have the vision of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus without the power of his might, without love shed abroad in your heart. As it said in John 16, Jesus, he said, I got to ascend to the right hand of the Father. But I'm going there to send you the Holy Ghost. He's been with you, but he shall be in you. Because I've had many things to say to you. But you can't understand them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. Every bit of it. Nothing withheld. What is your desire? Ask for it all. Amen? He'll take the things of Christ and make them yours. He shows them to you. He shows you what you have. Praise God. The very life of Christ in you. To believe. To believe. Amen. See, I couldn't believe unsaved as a man. But I can believe, praise God, because Christ liveth in me. There's no excuse, praise God. Yield, 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 yield. And the way we yield is we hear the word of God, because that's how faith comes, amen? We continue to hear the word of God, faith, praise God, because that's how it comes. It'll come. And it'll come line upon line, precept upon precept. And then you'll have all of those aha moments. Aha, aha, aha. And I'm talking about laughing, aha. Oh, I see it, Lord. And you begin to jump around, don't you? You have you meditating on something, chewing, just like the cow with the stomachs under the tree. And you just keep burping it up. Gets better every time. And it does. It's wonderful. And God help us to just embrace it and go with it. Amen. But see, just like us, without being carried away in the Spirit. And I'm talking about carried away in the Spirit. That's out there. That's out from among the camp. That's out from among believers. See, the camp ain't the world. The camp is the believers. Out from among the camp, praise God, is out from among believers. And you get carried out there. You get carried, and the only one that carries you out there is the Spirit. The Spirit will lead you out there, lead you in love. Amen? Isn't that how Rebecca was led? She'd just get on there for true grit? Did she get on there because, wow, this is going to be exciting? No, she got on there because she fell in love. And she didn't fall in love by seeing. She never saw him. But she heard. She listened. And she fell so madly in love, she left everything. And I gotta go now. I gotta go now. See, that's the thing. When the Lord deals with your heart, go now. You don't know when that string is going to strum like that across your heart. You gotta move. That ain't emotion. That's the Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the power of His might. Praise God. That's why He's giving you that trial. Because that's what's so beautiful. Amen. No, you're gonna, we're gonna, honey, you're gonna believe through this. Watch you. Watch me. How wonderful. Watch Christ in you do it. Amen. So this is why in John, again, Jesus ascended to give us the Holy Ghost, to guide us into all truth, yea, the deep things of God. And that's when you get carried away in the Spirit. Now, let's look where he takes John. He says here, it says he takes John to a great and high mountain. Oh, this is some glorious truth here. So those that take notes, quit taking notes. I want you to listen. Because you can't take notes this fast. I assure you, you can't. You're going to go back and listen to this again by the grace of God. But let's just listen. Stay up. You're not looking at me. We're just looking into the Word. You know, we're looking into the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. But I just think that we need to just listen here. Get this. Great. It means the highest of rank. Took him to the great mountain. The highest of rank mountain. The highest of esteem and importance. This is the definition of this in the Greek. Took him to this place of a great moment. The place of esteemed for excellence. Splendid. The place of God's preeminent blessing. And he still had to look up to see it. You don't even get how high this is. How mighty this is. How incredible this is. But I tell you what, when we begin to truly see what's mine is yours, take it. I begin to get it. His glory. Ruling and reigning. His authority. He wants us to share that with him. This isn't, okay, I want you to marry me, now get in line. No, get by my side. You're my wife. We're enjoying this together. We do this together. Amen? And that's how it should be. We submit one to another. Amen? Yeah, I understand that man is, in a sense, the head as unto the Lord. And that woman, praise God, submits to that as under the Lord. But it says they submit one to another. And that woman is his glory. His glory. And his thrill, his joy, his rejoicing, his everything. She's my glory. Without her, I don't have that, again, that completeness of glory. And we'll get to that in just a minute. See, if we just kind of, you know, well, go ahead and see it from afar off. I want to see it standing right next to his side. I don't want to be looking at the throne. I want to be looking out from the throne.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's what's ours. That is what's ours. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise God that we see this. Now, let's look at this glorious truth even a little bit more here. We got great, but he's always got a double portion. High. High. Exalted with power is what that means. Exalted with power, influence, and honor. She's like him. Isn't that him? Isn't he exalted with power and influence and honor? That's right. Because she's like him. And that's the place, again, John was taken to see it, but he still had to look up because it was descending, praise God. And why? Because grace comes down. Grace comes down. And there's one thing about the bride. She's all grace. You all grace? Amen. Anything of ourselves? No. No way. No way. Thank you, Lord. Learn of me, he said. Meek and lowly. I'd love that. Isn't that wonderful? Learn of me. Oh, thank you. And see, only love does that, doesn't it? Love that does that. Love of him just does that. It just ravishes you to praise him and melt. And then he melts. It is. Just that's what lovers do. They're just kind of gooey, you know. And you love one another. But see, that's the great city descending. Hallelujah. All the above meanings that we went through. And I do encourage you, listen to it again and again. Holy, set apart, New Jerusalem, that Jerusalem, double portion of peace. Been rejoicing in that in so many ways. You think of, again, as I mentioned, and it was such a precious truth to me that God revealed as Polly became my wife. It was such a peace to my dad, the father-in-law, Father God. There's a peace there because he knows that that wife loves his son. That his son rests in her. The virtuous woman, her heart, his heart trusts in her. There's a rest. Praise God. And then the double portion. Oh, the good pleasure of the will of the Son. Hallelujah. It's all over here, isn't it? But then, get this, the word new in New Jerusalem. It means unprecedented. It means unheard of. New, unheard of. Well, wait a second. I think I remember back in Revelation 3, 12 and 13, I'm going to write on you a new name. Unheard of. Huh? And what church was that, everyone? The Church of Philadelphia. Amen. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I'll keep you from the hour of temptation, that tribulation time. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Pillar, just stood, nothing fancy. Saw them pillars all over Italy. Man, I'll tell you, the roofs were beautiful and all of this. Some of them pillars just looked like they were beaten to a stump. One thing about them pillars, though, they're still standing. Without those pillars standing on the foundation, none of that stuff was happening. Without the foundation, without his pillars, his wife, let me tell you something. This completeness isn't happening. Know what you are to him. Amen. Praise God. This is marvelous times that we're in. Now, how beautiful that the Lord gave us, again, types and shadows of this. We'll just say hints in many places in the Old Testament of what this would be and all these things. But I want to, one that the Lord took me to that I think you'll delight in tonight is back in 1 Kings. And this happens to do with Solomon. And this is after Solomon had built the temple. Now Solomon finishes his own house. He built a house for himself. And this was back in chapter 3 when Solomon truly was going out after the Lord wholehearted as his father David. It isn't till chapter 11 years later that he begins to not trust God and go after and take wives of peoples that do not believe the Lord. And those wives of strange gods, they turn his heart. But this is before that. This is when he has that full joy. See, Solomon is such a type at the very end where he's writing there, "Oh, vanity of vanity." At the very end of his life, all is vanity. See, he realized at the end of his life, he missed God's best. There's a type in that of the church of Ephesus. Amen? Let me tell you something. Those that know the whole counsel of God and turn from it and leave their first love, they'll know it. You're going to be crying out one way or another, Christian. You're either going to be crying out for joy in the Lord because you heard the first trump, or you're going to be crying out because you will know, "Oh Lord, come quickly the second time." Amen. That second trump, I should say. So, this is a beautiful time here because Solomon finishes his house. And what happens right after Solomon finishes his house, we'll read here in just a moment, but is he brings Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, into his house. And I love that. Does that sound familiar? Remember, as we've been rejoicing and reading about, see, the marriage contract was signed. The moment that she accepted the proposal, that contract was signed. She became his wife. But he would then go away to prepare a place, which he's doing right now. Amen. Well, the place is prepared in type, and now he has his wife, and he brings her into the home. And it's so wonderful. I love how precious this, again, this little type here is. Now, I believe very soundly in this. People would say, "Well, that's Pharaoh's daughter. How could she have been a Christian?" I believe there's no rebuke here from the Lord, him doing this. I believe she fully took his God. She believed in God. Or Solomon wouldn't have been, again, sacrificing in the high places and rejoicing in the Lord. That this was a union that God did favor because, again, the type of the Gentile bride. Amen? Praise God. Told you there was a lot of stuff. Don't take notes. Got to go back and hear it again and read. A lot of layers. Oh, I know some will say, "Oh, well, this is what this means. I thank God for what you see." Oh, and I thank God for what I see. And I want to see more. "You've become mad in your learning," I think somebody said to Paul one time. Not that I'd compare myself amongst any of the selves. But I'm believing him. And I'll tell you what, I'm getting happier all the time. Amen. All right. This is good stuff. So notice here the theme that we have here. And this theme here is sacrificing in high places. John is taken to that high place, right? The great and high place to see this queen. So let's go ahead and read 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll read 1 through 4. "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord. and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built until the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And then read verse 4 with me. It even gets better. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Now what happened shortly after this is the Lord comes to Solomon and he says, Solomon, what would you request? And Solomon says, you've given me such a wonderful people. They're your people. I need wisdom. Isn't that wonderful? He wanted to know. He wanted to understand. And he understood because he was dwelling in the high places. High places, hallelujah. And it was so sweet because God made him the wisest man that ever lived. And not only did he make him the wisest man that ever lived, he gave him a double portion. He made him the richest man that ever lived. What's he doing with you when you dwell into the high places? Amen? He increases that wisdom, increases that knowledge, and that high place, praise God, that's that place of worship and yielding and, again, that thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, just to be thankful to God, just to continue to pour yourself out to God. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for this transforming grace, and to be patient to wait for the glory to glory. It's going to come because he said it would. You believe him. Amen. I get impatient, but you know what? God has given me more patience. I'm not only waiting on you, I'm waiting on Jesse. Amen. I don't want to get impatient. Lord, I know I shouldn't be. I'm trusting you. And then what transformation begins to happen? Praise God. This is wonderful. Now, riches beyond, knowledge beyond, oh, the exceeding riches of his grace that we have of the fellowship, which is only found in Paul's gospel, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why do you think John had to be taken up so high to see it? Because it's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's go back to Revelation chapter 21. And let's read verses 10 and 11. All right. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Thank you, Lord. So again, man, every verse is just like, oh my, what is going on here? The first thing that is noted, she has the glory of God. We are in the age of the gospel of the glory of his grace. To the praise, vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. See, that's it again, as we receive all the grace of God, that we, again, don't draw back in unbelief in anything. That there isn't any indecision of what the word of God says and what is for us. That we go boldly, we go in full assurance of faith, believing the Lord. Not believing that I can believe, but believing what he said. Taking him at his word. Believing the Lord in these scriptures. Praise God for our daily lives and daily function. But especially, yea, the deep things of God for our eternity with him. And then understanding why what's going on in my life is going on. I see it's perfect. It's perfect in its imperfection. It's perfect in its unknowing because it's got to be by faith. It's perfect in the suddenness of events. It's perfect even in trusting the Lord and believing the word of God, but yet there's still trial. Believing, praise God, in the gospel of Christ, but it didn't appear immediately. Because of the beauty with him is, will you wait? Will you abide faithful? Will you believe me? Amen. That's when See, true love waits. True love's patience. Amen. I always remember my grandmother back in the time of World War II. This is my grandma Dorcio. She used to, these girls used to be a little bit anxious getting married. Oh, you got to marry me before you go to war. You got to marry me before you go to war. And she'd take every one of those young men aside. She said, I'll tell you what, you go to war. And if that girl's still in love with you, then you knew it was true love. She'll wait. Sorry if I stepped on a couple toes. But you get the point. It's about waiting. And thankful to God that we can wait on this. But let's talk about this glory here for a moment. Let's go over to Proverbs 25:2. What a precious encouragement, again, given to us in the Word of God. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. See, that glory is concealed. But what? But the honor of kings is to search out a matter or that glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, just like Moses in type. He wanted to see the glory of God. But all Moses could see was what? The back parts. But to us who believe, that veil completely taken away, we look into the deep things of God. Amen. We look into the eyes of a lover. Hallelujah. Yeah. Believe it. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Go over there. You know we're not going to get through this verse or we'll be here till midnight. But we got to talk about this stuff before we get out of here. All right. Well, we might go up, so who knows. 4:15. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. See, brothers and sisters, 2 Timothy 2:10 tells us there is salvation with eternal glory. That we should go after that. Speaking to believers, not just salvation, but salvation with this eternal glory. This glory that descends from heaven, the bridal glory. Amen. So what we read here in 2 Corinthians 4:15, that it might, there's two wonderful words there, might through the thanksgiving of many redound. The word might and the word redound are the same word. They're the same exact word, but they're said differently, obviously, in English. But in the Greek, they are the same exact word, a double portion. And what that word means, an overabundance. Infinite, to furnish, to make one abundant in excellence. The word of his grace is making you abundant in a double portion way of excellence. That's called glory for him. My hair is all up. How about you, huh? Glory for him. Praise God. See, the woman is the glory of man. Paul's gospel. Colossians 1:25. We go over these time and time again, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. But as it's coming together and continues to just be so fortified in our lives, praise God. Colossians 1:25. This is Paul saying, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me, the chosen vessel, for this mystery of the bride of Christ. Was given to me for who? For you, for Jesse, for Aaron, Mark, amen, Lynn, praise God, all of us, hallelujah. Was given to Paul for us. To what? To fulfill the word of God. That means to complete the word of God. The bridal message was given to complete Jesus, because his wife completes him. Only with his wife does he take the throne. It's the only time he's ever going to take the throne is when he has his wife. He will not take the throne from God until he has his wife, till he has his queen, till the word of God is complete. And it's completed, praise God, with Paul's gospel. the bridal message. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, as we close this up tonight, once again, Paul's gospel, the bride for Jesus, completes Jesus. It gives him his joint heir. It gives him his glorified together partner for eternity. So I just remember that about Romans 8 there. Glorified together means to the same glory. To the same glory. What do we not get? She has the glory of God. She has him. And she has him within. And it emits from her that she has her light, which is him. But it's in her. It's in her. Exodus 10 and 11, in those chapters, if you go back and read. When the cherubim lift up their wings, and those cherubim again represent four living ones, the bride of Christ. When they lift up their wings and they begin to take flight, the glory of God is over them. It's about that glory. It's about his glory. They've always been carrying that glory. They're his glory. And once again, this is what this age is all about, is the glory of his grace, his bride glorified together, living a life from glory to glory into his very image. So she has him. She has his glory. His reward is with him, and she is her beloved's, and his desire is toward her. He makes known to all that glory, that she's my glory, by making known to all, as it says there about the church of Philadelphia, that I love you. I love you. They will praise God. Those knees will bow down before them and worship them. She will be part of that. She will be there with him. The king and the queen always receive the bended knee together. That may be hard for some. And you may not receive it now. But I will tell you this once again. I do not want to see this from afar off. Amen. I do not want to see this event standing before the throne with a palm. Amen. As I said, I want to be enjoying this arm in arm with my husband. Amen? That's what he gives us. Praise God. I want to be arm in arm with him as it's going on. And the way that happens, brothers and sisters, you see it now. Amen? We see this now. By grace and spirit, man, I get a better vision than John did. John was looking from the mountain. I believe I'm having dreams. I'm looking down at John as I'm coming down. Not that I've already apprehended. But I'm sure trusting him, Scott. I know he's put that grace in your heart, brother. Yes. Yes. The Spirit has carried us away. Let's pray. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. We're just, again, joyous that we're loved with so great a love. Joyous, Lord, that your perfect plan, the power in the plan, the provision, the purpose for you, I did it for my sake. Oh, I love that love. Oh, I love that passion for us who believe it. Lord, I love that I'm loved by a jealous God with godly jealousy all over me. Lord, thank you. And Lord, we are coming. We're walking through a wilderness right now. But I believe we're beginning to lean upon you, on that wonderful breast, upon your heart of love. And praise be to God, we're coming out. And it's going to be a whirlwind. Oh, the trump, my love. Hallelujah. And I know you're asking the Father the same right now. Oh, Father, will it be tonight? May I go get her this evening? Jesus, I thank you for this love. I thank you for the reality, praise God, of the vision that only the Holy Ghost can give us. Lord, stir our hearts. Those that this might be new and somewhat unknown, Lord God, let them know that the word of God does not return void unto you. That it's all by faith. This isn't for another person. Gideon was looking around, but as you told him, you're my man. Let us know, Lord, it's for us. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise in your precious name. Amen.